Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 60.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 60. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe. As always, thank you very, very much for listening and being here and supporting my education in Jazz Piano School. I really appreciate it. In this episode, I'm going to be going over how to expand on rootless voicings. So how to take your standard rootless voicings and build upon them by switching the extensions you're used to playing, and how do we actually alter those extensions to create some new sounds. Start to think out of the box and start to improve your playing a little bit more and start to really kind of open up your voicing. So I'm very sad right now because I just filmed pretty much 25 minutes of the episode, what I thought was the episode, and my mic wasn't on. And I look up, you know, just to make sure. Good thing I didn't get through the whole episode, but I looked up and I didn't see any lines moving, and I was like, no. So here we are at take two, and I just wanted to throw that out there to everyone. But hey, you know, stuff happens, right? You just got to plow through. And it's funny, if you guys are listening on a weekly basis, you might have heard I started was coughing in the last episode, and I didn't really know why. And I very quickly found out why, and that was because I got very sick right after I filmed that episode, actually that night. And obviously you can probably hear in my voice, it's still raspy. I still have some stuff going on in my chest. So I apologize for some of my coughing that I may do today. But thank you for being here again. For the newbies out there listening or just stumbling upon this episode, we are affiliated with jazzpianoschool.com. That is the website I built and created, which contains a lot of free material, including this podcast and blog, as well as a main course for beginner, intermediate, and advanced players that actually was built by me to take people step by step through a curriculum in an organized and structured manner to learn jazz piano, for the people that don't have access to, you know, the college education that I went through, and just to help people in general learn this great music. So we are at 41 five stars. So I just wanted to say a quick thank you to everyone who's rated the podcast. If you really enjoy this podcast and are listening, or listen on a consistent basis and enjoy it, I'd really appreciate a five-star review. It takes like 2 seconds. It actually helps to popularize the podcast in iTunes and spread the podcast to others who can help to hear it and learn the information. So you're actually helping others learn as well and find the podcast. My goal is to get to 100 five-star reviews before we get to 100 podcasts. So this is episode 60, so we're cruising right along. We got kind of a ways to go here. But again, in this episode, I'm going to be expanding upon rootless voicings. Now, if you don't know your rootless voicings, then go back and listen to the episodes on rootless voicings, because in this episode, I'm going to be speaking and educating like you know what a rootless voicing is, all right? That way we don't waste that much time. For all the voicings I go over today, we're going to give those away for you to download and practice. I'm going to show you exactly how to practice those, because there's going to be a specific way I want you to do it. You can practice all those voicings. They're going to be written out in all keys for you. And, sorry, I'm just thinking about something. You know, we're about to implement a new technology, software technology, into Jazz Piano School. That's what I forgot. I meant to say something in this episode, and I said it in the first take, and I know I'm forgetting something. But we're about to implement a new software into the site. And this is going to be, it's going to be for the membership community mainly, in the specialty course we're about to release before the end of the year, which is going to be the solo piano system, the JPS solo piano system. And this thing is phenomenal. I mean, I hate to toot my own horn here, but I spent like a year planning this out and literally creating this flow chart that you actually can arrange anything you want to sound exactly like the albums you hear, the rich sounding voicings you hear, right? If I just play some of these things really quickly. You know, stuff like that, solo piano stuff that you're just like, that's exactly what I want to play. I want to be able to sit down at my keyboard piano at home and play great sounding solo piano. Now, it's not just guessing. It's not loads of you know, guessing and like, oh, how do I arrange the voicing here? How do I arrange? There's actually a system I built with a flowchart that's like a pick your own adventure. So depending upon where the melody note is and the bass note you pick, you fill in with components and it's all laid out for you. It's absolutely phenomenal. I can't say enough about it. I'm really, really excited, as you can tell. My point is, thank you for bearing with me as I'm talking a mile a minute here. My point is, we're integrating a new software for the main course, right? The beginner level, intermediate, and advanced. All those videos I'm going to refilm actually for this new software. So it's going to be a whole new overlay. And the software is moving notation, but it's more than that. It's actually interactive software notation. You can go check it out. It's phenomenal. It's called SoundSlice. Hopefully I can do a plug. I'm not sure if I have to contact Adrian, but I'm sure he won't mind. It's soundslice.com. And if you go there, you can kind of play around with the software. It's actually mainly used for guitar notation for various reasons. I don't know why, but it works great for piano. And you can transpose the music to any key you want with a slider. So any notation that I write out and upload, you can transpose it to all the keys just by moving a slider. You can slow the music down as it's going by. You can speed it up. You can, and this speeds up the video. It slows down the video that's accompanying the music. Oh, it's just, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And all the music is synced up to my video that I'm talking about. It does have a synthetic view, meaning it's like MIDI, so you can see the notes being played on the music, and there's a virtual keyboard down below. Oh, it's just, it's gonna take JPS to a whole new level. I'm pumped. I'm so pumped about it. And it's gonna be a bleep ton of work, but hey, that's what I live for. I live for this. So we're gonna overlay all the new videos in JPS with SoundSlice, and the new JPS specialty course on solo piano system is going to be the first course or first, you know, education of JPS that's going to include SoundSlice. So I just went off on a huge tangent because I'm pumped. But the point being is that for some of these podcasts, I can actually use SoundSlice. And I have to think about that because I'm not really sure how to do it. But if you go to, I may put it in the blog post and see and see, you know, how, if we can do that or not. But that would allow you to look at the voicings, play them and transpose them into all the keys and whatnot. But I'll definitely have those materials for you anyway to download as far as the music goes. You can download the music anyway as a PDF format, and that will be at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast60. You can also text the word download 60 to the number 44222 and you will receive those after you send your email address. So, man, I know that was a lot of talking. 9 minutes of talking. I'm looking at the counter right now. Let's go. In a rootless voicing, you have two extensions. Your rootless voicings are built up of shells, meaning the third and the seventh of a chord, and two extensions, your natural 9 and your natural 13. Okay, very, very simple, right? So here are my rootless voicings for a 2-5-1. Right? So I'm just going to be talking about changing the extensions in our dominant chord for today. And that is because the dominant chord has the most extensions available to it to play around with and alter. The minor extensions and the major extensions are a little bit more difficult because there's not as many options and it's hard to kind of alter them in a rootless voicing format. So we are going to be altering the G7 extensions for our voicing. Okay, now this is a great way to, for beginners and intermediate players looking to manipulate the extensions or start to grow, get out of the box of just playing standard rootless voicings and really kind of play outside the key. Use some more really popular extensions that make you actually sound like a jazz pianist. A lot of the times this is the sound that people are striving for, but they don't know how to put it into words, right? So just using natural nines and natural 13s over dominant chords is going to sound very, very bland, right? And that's why your playing may sound very bland, because the natural nine and natural 13 are great, but there's certain spots where you need more of a tense color. You need a flat 13, you need a sharp nine, you need a flat nine. Those colors give you tension, and then as you release them into the major seven chord, then it's like a release moment, right? With the natural 13 and natural nine, there's not much tension there, so it stays pretty calm, right, throughout the 2-5-1. With that ebb and flow of tension and release, it's gonna give you more of that jazz sound you're looking for. So we have our first structure. We have 3-13-7-9, right? Now here's our 13 and here's our nine. I'm gonna change the nine first. Now remember, in a dominant chord for our extensions, let's say I play a C7 dominant chord, we have three nines. We have flat nine, we have natural nine, and sharp nine. We also have sharp 11, we have flat 13, and we have natural 13. So we have six extensions that we can play with, all right? So over our G7 chord, I'm gonna change the nine to a flat nine. That's it, I moved one note and I have a new voicing, right? So my original 2-5-1 sounded like this. Now I'm gonna play my flat nine instead of the natural nine. Ooh, I love it. Okay, now granted I'm using this keyboard, hopefully you know you can't hear the quality as much and as the richness as you can as you would on a you know concert grand Steinway, but still you can hear it's a great quality there. Let's check it out in the other structure. So we have 3-5-7-9 here, going to 7-9-3-13. So this is the G7. I'm gonna change my nine to a flat nine. Oh, I love it. All right, so here's the original 2-5-1. And here's with the flat nine. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Now I like this structure better than this one. And I don't know why, for some reason, I think it's because the natural 13 is on top and the A flat is in the middle, the flat nine. To my ears, I just prefer that sound. This sounds great too. And I don't know why, it's just a personal opinion, but it just goes to show that different inversions, right, depending upon where you play them, are gonna sound different. So you may be playing the same notes, but maybe to a composer or to a band leader, you may be voicing it how you've learned, but they're like, no, I want something else. They're like, oh, you're playing it wrong. And then you may be like, no, I'm playing the notes. And they're like, no. And they may not know how to describe it to you either, actually. I've experienced this a lot. They'll be like, something doesn't sound right. So it's probably, if you know you're playing the exact notes correctly, it's probably the inversion you're using, or you need to flip-flop a voicing somehow, okay? So just a little quick tip there. But here's our flat nine. Such a great texture. The flat nine and natural 13 is a really great texture together. Okay, let's change the nine to a sharp nine now. So here's my nine. I'm gonna move it to a sharp nine on the G7. There's my sharp nine, natural nine, sharp nine. Okay, now again, this register for me is kinda strange. It just doesn't, I think it's too thin for some reason. That's why I like this thicker, richer harmony down here. Here's my flat nine, excuse me, here's my sharp nine. Again, there's something, the rub, the sharp nine and the natural 13 create another tritone in your voicing. You already have one tritone from your seven and three, your shells, and then you have another tritone. So you basically have two tritones, and tritones are very unstable intervals. So it creates a very, very tense voicing, right? Now, we can play around with the nines. We can also move the 13. Right, so we can move the 13 to flat 13. So if I change my 13 to a flat 13, I'll leave my nine as a natural nine. We won't change that yet. We create this really nice motion. And what happens here is you'll see in the other structure too. I'll play this, I'll change the 13 to a flat 13 now. We create a really nice voice leading line on top. Now, a little tip here is the top note in your voicings is gonna stick out the majority of time more than others. So your top voicing should always be paid close attention to because it's gonna stick out, and you can use that to create certain melodic lines like we just did. And the reason that sounds so good is because we have this voice leading melodic movement on the top of our voicing, and that flat 13 sounds really great. Excuse me. Okay, now let's use the flat 13 with a flat 9. So we're combining two, we're changing two extensions now. We're going to flat both the 13 and the 9 in our G7 chord. Okay, so we have this originally, now we have this. Oh, I love it, so beautiful, right? And again, this is kind of the sound that you may have been searching for or maybe looking for, right? Changing some of these extensions. Let's do it in the other structure. Here's our original. And here's with our two flats, flat 9 and flat 13. I always hear that line for some reason too when I use both of those flat 9 and flat 13. Da, 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 da. And again, this kind of sound for me, I don't know why. It kind of reminds, it's just a very, like, what's the right word? Mystical kind of sound, right? It reminds me of some woman kind of stepping out of the curtains in some bar and everyone turning their head and just like, you know, in awe of her or something. That's the sound that that flat 9 and flat 13 gives you. It's just, it's a brilliance that's like just beautiful, right? Okay. So now we can play around with the combination. Obviously, we can also move our flat 13, or excuse me, we can move our 13 to flat 13 and then move our 9 to sharp 9. This is the classic altered sound. When you see an altered chord written, and you see alt written in the chord symbol, this is the chord you want to play. You want to play a flat 13 with a sharp 9. Right? So we have this originally. Now here's flat 9, excuse me, here's flat 13 and sharp 9. Very beautiful chord. Very beautiful chord. Here's it in the other example. Okay, now altered chords are used a lot, so I'd highly recommend practicing that voicing because it's very, very popular, the flat 13 and sharp 9, okay? Now, we also have our sharp 11, right? Now, we only have five fingers on our hand, and I kind of talked about this in the left-hand chord approach, right? So, to voice voicings with our sharp 11, it's gonna take a little bit of work, right? Because we have to use all of our fingers, but it's possible. So I can add my sharp 11 in by switching my fingering and playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So now I have 3, sharp 11, natural 13, 7, natural 9. Now the sharp 11 can be mixed with any of the combination of extensions. Right, I won't go through them all now, but again, you can have sharp 11, flat 13, natural 9, sharp 11, flat 13, sharp 9, sharp 11, natural 13, flat 9, right? You can go through all the combinations of this voicing. So I can go, let me see. This is 3, sharp 11, flat 13, 7, flat 9. I can use natural 13 if I want. I can use sharp 9. Now, if you're watching this video as opposed to listening to the podcast, obviously you can see my hand position is this is a difficult voicing to play, right? It's not easy, okay? And you would need to practice this. And again, if we go to our other structure here, this is actually gonna be a lot easier to play because the sharp 11, excuse me, sits right underneath my fourth finger. So I can easily switch up all the chords much easier than the other structure. So you're going to kind of have to play with this because some, you know, one structure will fit under your hand better than the other structure, right? If you want to add that sharp 11 in and have three extensions in your voicing as opposed to two. But again, guys, that's it. So what you want to do to practice your voicings now is in rootless voicings, what I teach, and again, this is in the course, I go through all this and give you the practice exercises, but once you learn your rootless voicings, you want to isolate, this is how I always educate my students on voicings, you want to isolate your voicings. So if you want to, if you're playing around with these voicings, and let's say you like, I love this voicing, I love 3, flat 13, 7, flat 9. How do I learn this voicing so I can use it? I want to be able to use this voicing in all situations. Meaning, if I want to play 3, flat 13, 7, flat 9, I need to practice this voicing in all keys over all dominant 7 chords. So how do I do that? I simply take this voicing and play it through all dominant chords. So I'd move this to C, and I'd have 3, flat 13, 7, flat 9. Okay, so you want to recognize the numerals of the degrees and how they relate to the chord. That's going to easily allow you to transpose the voicing. And then I need to move it to F, right? Okay, 3, flat 13, 7, flat 9, right? Okay, so you want to transpose that, and then obviously you move it to B flat, right? So, and then go through the keys, okay? So I've isolated that particular voicing that I like, and then I want to move it through the different, all the dominant chords. If you like another structure, let's say you like the altered structure down here, 7, sharp 9, 3, flat 13. You want to isolate the numerals of this and move that through the keys. So I go to the key of C. Sorry, what did we start on? 7? Yeah. 7, flat 13, 7, sharp 9, 3, flat 13, right? Then to F, B flat, right? And go through all the keys that way using those Roman numerals for that voicing. So that's how you want to practice the isolation of voicings. Just to get started though, I'd recommend just doing the 2-5, just doing the 2-5-1 exercise that I had originally talked about. So just alter one extension at a time and see if you like it, right? Flat 13. And then go to a different key. I only played in C. Go to the key of F. And do the same thing and play around. See if you can switch the extensions first before you start to isolate a particular voicing that you like. The isolation and practice through all the keys is a more advanced way of practicing and really, you know, harnessing the power of that one voicing. Whereas if you just want to kind of get used to the motion of changing an extension, just play around simply with your 2-5-1s and see if you can pick out the extensions and change them. That's it. Just in a very simple manner, right? And see if you enjoy that sound. Once you are kind of used to doing that in some different keys, then start to isolate your voicings afterwards, all right? So thanks for bearing with me with my voice, guys. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, I like to point out in the podcast, just as a reminder towards the end of this, is that the podcasts are not sequenced, meaning the information in the podcast is the kind of more the traditional way that people learn jazz in just a scattered manner. So I had some people, and the reason I'm addressing this, because I had a lot of podcast listeners actually who are curious about the Jazz Piano School course, and they think sometimes, a lot of the times they think that the education is like the podcast because I actually go a lot in depth in my podcast. And I want to tell everyone listening is that the difference between the podcast episodes, people will ask, well, what's the difference, you know, or they think they know the difference. The difference between the podcast episodes and the main course is that the podcast is not sequenced correctly, meaning most students, including myself, will go through their jazz career, jazz education, learning random bits of information here and there scattered along the way and in random orders, meaning you're trying to do a connect the dots where you have no numbers, meaning you're trying to learn the alphabet starting at the letter M, right? Then you learn the letter B, then you learn the letter Z, then you know, it's all over the place, right? You're trying to learn US history and you're going into a library and you're the one that needs to pick out the books. You pick out a book from this shelf, then you go to the third floor and pick out a book on this shelf, right? The JPS course, I built it so that everything is set up in the correct order. And that's the difference between the podcast and the community, right? The paid community online. Now, I give away so much information in these podcasts. Are you going to learn? Absolutely. But I just want to let people know, because people have been asking questions about this, what's the difference? The JPS course and the specialty courses that we're going to be releasing are all set up as a curriculum. I tell you the first step, and then I build upon that in a step-by-step fashion that leads you down a path that's cumulative, okay? That it builds on the last step. It's not random bits of information scattered around. It's not a library, right? It's not just a library where you go in and you get to pick the videos that you want to watch. Everything's set up in a directional system that leads you down a path to success, right? That's going to improve your playing in the correct order you should be learning these components in, okay? You know, I hate to say it, like when I was a student, we don't know what to do, right? And I'm gonna be blunt about this. You as a student listening to these podcasts, trying to get information, you don't necessarily know what information you need to, you know, learn in the correct order, right? So when we go and listen to podcast A or podcast Z, or we go online and we search for this, you may be learning information, but you may be hurting yourself at the same time because you're not learning things in the correct order. And again, it's like when we go to learn the alphabet, someone could lay out all the letters of the alphabet in a random order, but we don't know the order until someone tells us, a professional helps us and spells it out for us. So that is the difference. I just want to address that because I've gotten a lot of questions recently regarding what is the difference, because people are like, hey, Brendan, the podcast is awesome. You give so much information away. You know, what is the difference between the course online that's paid for and the podcast? So that is the difference. The podcast is a library of random bits of information. The JPS course is a system. It's a systematic system with all the practice materials there for you, all the workbook materials there for you, all the lesson text is there for you as well, and it's in a step-by-step curriculum, cumulative fashion that's organized and structured for you. And soon we're gonna be adding the sound slice to it as well, so that would be awesome. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for being here. I'm gonna go and try and rest my voice now. I've probably way overdone it, and I will see you in the next podcast. Thanks so much, and happy practicing.